Samir, hello, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Fine, thanks. Thanks for giving us an opportunity to be here, Vikas. And it's been a pleasure. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Samir. So this conclave is all about alternate investing in portfolio management services. So before you join, I kind of, I was sharing your journey and your organization journey in terms of how it is shaping up. In fact, I'm talking about the way your performance has bounced back, so quickly, ever since you've taken over. And many congratulations to you for doing so well. And you've been able to create wealth for your investors, which is the most important aspect, any fund manager or any wealth manager would like to have it. So thank you so much. And over to you. If you, I know that your presentation is not working. So maybe, hearing from you would be a better way to sort of read your mind and understand how India is rebooting. Over to you.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks, Vikas. So I think good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here. As the topic that we have for discussion today is rebooting India. So innovation and the special opportunities available. I think because as you rightly see today from where we stand, the road ahead, at least for us as a country and for the people as a population and the economy, it looks it couldn't get better. And I'm sure over the last couple of days you guys have been inundated with a lot of data points as to how exciting the futures are, etc. I think I will just take a minute here to step back and give you a bird eye view as to how what is changing in India, which doesn't get talked about too much. Because today, if you see from where we are coming, it's been a journey whereby, right from say the ages of when you talk about innovation, right from World War I to World War II, and now when warfare has reached a very different meaning in terms of the economic warfare. I think earlier, what was the things that were very critical? I mean, post World War I, you had things like coal, iron, manufacturing capacity, etc. Because what you needed was, you wanted to produce masks, artillery ships, steamships, etc. That changed in 1945, post the Second World War, to now you needed control on oil, steel, aluminium, and the manufacturing capacity, etc. Tanks. Now it's gone to the stage that today you need high performance semiconductors. You need satellites, you need algorithmic warfare systems, because today that's the level of innovation that is actually happening. And that is where as a country, you need to step up. And as a consumption class, because everybody is enamored by the potential of the India market. But having said that, I think very smart policymakers have said that when you want to look at innovation that is essential to bring about any large scale change in society, it needs to work along four vectors, which is policy, technology, design, and strategy innovation. Now, if you look at all these four, where India has come in the last maybe a decade or so, and where we are likely to go, all of these are right now flashing green. And in a world which is today devoid of economic growth, people are right now questioning whether 2.5-3% is also possible in terms of the global economic growth. I think India is making a strong case, and we'll tackle each of these points. I mean, when we speak of innovation, if you look at the policy side, I think it started off with the current dispensation, the establishment coming in, and the rollout of the entire Aadhaar, Jan Dhan, mobile, then the India stack getting created. And that is today now, enabled us or has made available something that is today called the Digital Public Infrastructure, the DPI, which is essentially the software which can then power a lot of things. And that, to my mind, is both a policy as well as a technology shift. And I think the effects of that are visible in very small things. I mean, who could have thought that, say, maybe 5 years back, India would be shipping out $10 billion worth of, smartphone exports. And today, a large part of that is coming out from an Apple plant. So I think that that is the first sign that the government of the land has done what it takes in a setup like India to be able to get across towards doing these kind of things, which then have implications on a lot of grassroots things. And hence, when you look at things like the entire design architecture, I think today, the very fact that you have the core digital economy, because when you look at growth, production or rather productivity and population are the only two vectors of economic growth that have been chronicled hitherto since time immemorial. So today, if you see population, we are the world's largest landmass of humans. And I think in terms of productivity, we've done a host of things, which has today led to a lot of stuff being available for both high contact population, as well as the entire design and the strategy innovation. I think today, the core digital economy has increased from almost 5.5% to about 8.5% of GVA over the last 5 years. And I think that the digital economy growing at 2.5 times your broad economy is a huge, enablement, because I think that can power a lot of stuff. For example, just to give you some statistics, the entire 1700 odd welfare schemes of the government that are currently being run, courtesy the Aadhaar and Jandhan Mobile, I think that has led to some savings of close to about $12 billion. And that is a huge number. And people ask, usse hamara kya hoga? I think what one needs to know is that if you see across any vector, that whether be it, the number of cars sold, I think it's a good statistic that today India is almost on the verge of close to selling 3.9 million cars. But let me tell you, only 8% of the entire household in India still owns a car. So that gives you a sense as to where we have come, but that also gives you a sense as to where we can go. So I think that, as somebody had said, that in India, all the good things that are true about India, the opposite are also equally true. So I think that is a very clear complexity that we as a country, as a nation, are beginning to appreciate and in fact make available for the larger benefit. I think when you talk of the other, so policy is very clearly there. Then the other part of technology, I think today when you are looking at where we have come, the future holds even bigger promise, because on the back of your entire India stack, you've got UPI and now you've got the concept of ONDC. I think that can, now what is it? What is that? It is working on various things. So A, your manufacturing exports are sort of perking up, and these are areas which fit in directly into your China plus one, et cetera, et cetera. And at the same time, it's also a possibility that when services exports today, in an area, if you especially look, post-COVID, the world is seeing a slowdown, whereas India's services exports have actually grown 50%. And today they are as big as our merchandise exports in the overall basket, apart from the high tech and the, telecom space. So, all this advent of the entire, global capability centers, today India is almost, close to 40% of the GCCs worldwide. And that is leading to a lot of, that's a large value add. And hence, when you look, see the entire, the cross-border or what they call as the foreign commercial consumption, which is not only tourism, education, healthcare, but even foreign commercial presence, which is the delivery centers. I think that all these people who come and have their GCCs in India, that A, leads to employment, and B, it leads to tremendous purchasing power being unleashed. I mean, how is it that in a world whereby things are slowing down, Indian service exports have grown from about 200 billion in 2021 to about 300 billion at the end of F23? I think that clearly tells us that there is some amount of shift happening, and that shift is having a lot of impact at the grassroots level. So therefore, earlier in services, you only had a financial services and maybe technology. Today, you have a lot of other services which are high contact, your tourism, hospitality, and at the same time, specialty retail, even tourism, transportation, logistics. I think these are very high contact and very high potential areas, which can lead to, to our mind, these are things which are trends that don't go away in a hurry. And these are just about developing as we speak. So I think the runway is large. And the fact that, you know, people keep talking about, you know, global growth, slowdown, et cetera, but if you look around you, I think there is, you know, credit penetration is rising. At the same time, you see income levels at $2,100 per capita. It's a very sweet spot. I think from here onwards, it's a J curve that can get expressed across a lot of other industries, including services. So I think we are very, you know, positively inclined towards, you know, playing these for our investors. And at the same time, you know, there has been a lot of gains that have already accrued in terms of, you know, your Coven platforms, your eShram portals. I think these are things that people don't talk about too much, maybe because it doesn't concern you and me. But at some point in time, you know, somebody somewhere who's wanting to make a reasonable livelihood in India, he's getting a far better opportunity today than perhaps he was at any other point in time. And now with the advent of 5G, ONDC, I think all that is a game changer, because at one level you've got, you know, companies like Jio who are making the entire hardware available at a, you know, far lower cost. They are clearly driving the cost down and hence increasing adoption. And at the same time, you also have a lot of companies who are now being able to create services around this. I think ONDC is a very clear case of, you know, anybody being able to sell anything to anyone from anywhere. I think that it could be a game changer of a different proportion altogether. So I think if you look at in terms of the changes that any, you know, special opportunity or challenge or adversity brings about, I think somewhere, you know, it's very clearly sowing the seeds of both opportunity and growth. Because even if you see right over the last 2-3 decades, the way things have been, every crisis has been a potential for, you know, the next opportunity of value creation. And that is, I think, very heartening to see from where we speak. India is very positively poised. And to our mind, we are in a position, in a way, trying to create products which will help investors capture these spaces, and hence make more sharply positioned portfolios available for them to be able to, you know, take part in this entire opportunity. And I think our endeavor would be that it is, you know, you make money when you try and participate in a trend that will get expressed over a 4, 5, 10 year you know, time horizon. Because, you know, in India, this could be a long-term trend. Service exports equaling manufacturing, where manufacturing itself is rising. I mean, $10 billion of, you know, smartphone exports, and with a lot of people also now wanting to, you know, still waiting at the door, because I think the government has also realized that somewhere, you know, now with the whole China plus one, you need to be making the ecosystem, you know, easier for people to come in. So, you know, you can allow more, you know, Chinese vendors setting up local JVs, etc. So I think those things, there is a natural, you know, learning curve, which I think the government is also willingly taking part. I think when people talk of innovations, if you look at whether it's a, you know, Sudarshan Meni inspired Vande Mataram, or perhaps, you know, the fact that Coven app is today, it has powered the entire vaccination, you know, penetration in India. I think these are things which are tectonic, and these have a lot more longer throw than perhaps, you know, something that has a limited utility. So I think, you know, and since the title of the discussion is Rebooting India, I think I will make, I'll tell all your viewers and listeners that, you know, Nandan, who's the architect of the modern day, you know, so-called digitization or the DPI, I think he had written a very massive forward-looking book, which is Rebooting India. I think I would advise people to go and have a look, that it has, and it talks about everything, be it power utilities, be it healthcare system. So everything can then sit on top of this entire digital stack. In fact, in today, if you see, the world is asking us to come and help them re-engineer their DPI. I think the digital public infrastructure today is such a massive, you know, infrastructure ecosystem that India has managed to create, that could have ramifications that today you and me are not in a position to perhaps appreciate to the full extent. I mean, you know, 840 million internet connections, 600 million smartphone users, you know, rural population growing at almost 200% in terms of internet subscription between 2015 and 21. You know, these are things that are are just about beginning. So I think the story is just about coming together. So today, if you look at the whole emphasis of the government has been that once you develop a DPI, it ensures public availability of digital components, because then it becomes more participative service delivery systems. You can trigger market-led innovations. You can facilitate more faster onboarding of services. And I think it just about aids the development of more transparent systems and hence builds trust. I think trust is a big driver today in terms of both user interface as well as investor attraction. So I think all that is just about coming together as far as India is concerned. And to our mind, we are very positively inclined, and we are having portfolios that are positioned to this growth. In fact, we already have a current product on the Cat3 AI platform, which is clearly leveraging services. And we have another one which is leveraging the special opportunity. So I think we are putting our money where our mind is. And friends, I think I'll just like to leave you with a thought that as Victor Hugo said, that you can't stop an idea whose time has come. So, I think we all should believe in the idea that is India.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll carry forward your discussion with Bala, because Bala has also joined the conversation here. So we'd like to conclude the session here. Thank you so much, Samir. It's a pleasure listening to you always and your thought process. Thank you so much for sharing your valuable wisdom with our investors.
Thanks. Thanks, Vikash. And thanks for having me, and wish you all the best. Happy investing, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.